How do you solve a problem like the deficit?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama this morning named a bipartisan panel to come up with ways to deal with a federal deficit expected to reach $1.6 trillion this year. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from New York. Jeremy, who is on this panel?
Well, there'll be 18 members, Bill. It'll be led by former Republican Senator Alan Simpson of Wyoming and Democrat Erskine Bowles, who was the White House chief of staff under Bill Clinton. The president praised them as people who can work across party lines to solve difficult problems. And he said long-term budget deficits are just too big a problem to ignore.
The trajectory is clear, and it is disturbing. But the politics of dealing with chronic deficits is fraught with hard choices, and therefore it's treacherous to office holders here in Washington. As a consequence, nobody's been too eager to deal with it.
And as you'll remember, Bill, just recently the Senate failed to pass a measure that would have created a congressional commission like this one to reduce the deficit.
Right. So this commission the president made today, is this a suitable replacement?
Well, many in Washington say no, it's not, because Congress won't be required to vote up or down on its recommendations the way they would have if it had been a commission that they created themselves. Here's Kevin Hassett, I spoke with, who's the director of economic policy studies at the American Enterprise Institute, which is a conservative think tank.
The best thing that the commission can accomplish is to take two people who are very highly regarded in Washington, I think around the country, and immerse them in the issue. And then when Congress finally gets around to wanting to do something and maybe sets up its own commission, then these guys will be invaluable resources.
Invaluable, he says, Bill, both in educating people about the deficit and helping to negotiate a solution.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson, thank you.
Thanks.
And let's see how stock markets are feeling this morning. S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are up almost 0.2%, and the Dow's doing a little better, up 27 points at 10,336. The Philadelphia Federal Reserve released some encouraging news this morning on manufacturing there. European stocks gained more than 0.5% today, while Asian shares lost 0.5%. A wine scandal has hit our shores. A dozen French wine producers and traders have been convicted of mislabeling 18 million bottles of Pinot Noir. Our Europe correspondent Stephen Beard has the sordid details.
U.S. winery Ian J. Gallo fell victim to one of the biggest frauds in wine history. They thought they were buying Pinot Noir for their Red Bicyclette brand. In fact, it was an inferior and much cheaper blend of grapes. A dozen French wine producers and traders received suspended jail sentences and hefty fines for the fraud. French customs officers with a nose for wine detected the scam. American customers were none the wiser. Chris Losh of Imbibe magazine is not surprised.
Most people would struggle to know what Pinot Noir tastes like. The consumers generally are in profound ignorance when it comes to wine, which is something of an indictment of the trade's inability to educate and make it accessible over the last 20 or 30 years.
In a statement, Ian J. Gallo expressed its deep disappointment over the fraud, but said it wanted to assure its customers this is not a health and safety issue. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. By Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services.
This week, Argentina's president declared that ships need a license to travel from her country to the islands that the UK calls the Falklands. Those countries fought over those islands in the 80s. Reporter Daniel Schweimler in Buenos Aires, what is this new skirmish about?
As you say, the latest skirmish in a long, long battle, this one stretching back to the 1830s when the British forces took over the Falkland Islands, and the Argentinians have been claiming them ever since.
Why is this conflict flaring up again now?
This one specifically because British companies are exploring for oil in the region of the Falkland Islands. Initial exploration has suggested that something like 60 billion barrels of crude oil may be found in the area. If it does turn out that there is a lot of oil in that area, then those islanders will become incredibly wealthy, and obviously it will accrue massive profits for the British companies as well.
So how are these British oil companies responding to Argentina's declaration this week?
Well, for them, it's going to be an enormous inconvenience. It's going to take a lot longer for their supplies to get to the islands and to the rigs. It's also going to make it much more difficult for them to get, if they do find oil, to get that away from the islands.
So there are ways to get to and from the Falklands without going through Argentine waters?
There are, but it certainly means taking the long way round. It would be far more convenient for them to go to Argentinian ports. We've already had one incident where a ship in the last couple of weeks went to Argentina to pick up steel tubes used in oil exploration from an Argentine company. The Argentine authorities are refusing to let that ship leave port.
So, Daniel, hundreds of people died in this conflict in the early 80s. What does it look like the odds are of some kind of military confrontation again?
Well, it's still a very raw nerve, that 1982 war here in Argentina. But Argentina at that time, in 1982, was governed by a brutal military government. It now has a civilian democratically elected government. And as far as the government here is concerned, it's not going to escalate into a military conflict.
We'll see how much more acute this confrontation gets if oil is actually discovered there in those islands. Daniel Schweimler, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally, when you announce online that you are visiting your cousins in Houston, you're also telling burglars you're not home. That's the message of a website called PleaseRobMe.com that compiles these posts. I'm on it right now. This guy's out getting a haircut at Groom, and there's his photo. There's a disclaimer. The site's founder says he's drawing attention to the problem. He's not trying to get people burglarized. But if he were, would he announce it? It's the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.